And in that 6 days war in 1967, Israel got back all that land, the right side of that green line. Today, that area is called the West Bank. They won it in the war against Jordan. And that's, of course, when they also got Jerusalem back. In 1948, they didn't have Jerusalem. That belonged to the Jordanians. In 1967, they own all of this land. Well, that green line right there now represents the West Bank. And that's where the Palestinians have their headquarters. Who are the Palestinians? Please do your homework and don't take the CNN version of who the Palestinians are. They are not and have never been a homogeneous ethnic nation of a consistent culture. Who are they really? They are a hodgepodge of various people that in 1948 were living in this region that is today called the West Bank. The nations in 1948, the Arab nations, announced that they were going to roll into Israel. We don't care what the United Nations has said. We're going to roll right through and we're going to shove Israel into the sea. The Arab folks that were living in this region and also in Gaza, down to the bottom left of your slide there, they said, well, we're Arabs too. Well, what are you going to do with us? And they said, you better get out of the way. Well, where do we live? When we push Israel into the sea, just go back and live where you've always lived. Oh, okay. Well, in 1948, it didn't go exactly as the Arabs had thought. And the Jews win that war. And now the people in that area, they said, well, now what are we supposed to do? Because their Arab nations of Saudi Arabia and those around didn't want them either, they said, well, you're on your own. And then in 1967, it gets worse. In the 6 Days War, now Israel controls the West Bank. And these former people who lived there, they said, well, what are we supposed to do? And Israel said, go back to your homes. Go back to your businesses. Go back to your life. You can be who you are, except you have to recognize that Israel is the nation in which you live. And you must abide by our rules. Most of them said, never! We don't recognize the nation of Israel. They then are sequestered together in a group of refugee camps. Simply because they will not recognize Israel as the nation in which they live. And some of these refugee camps also are in other areas. Next slide. See the green line? About 1992 and 93, Yitzhak Rabin was the prime minister of Israel. And there was wave after wave after wave of Palestinians living in this area, carrying out terrorist raids in bus stops and schools and civilians and shopping centers alike. And so in 1992, Yitzhak Rabin says, I wonder if we don't need a security fence. So he proposed the idea, but international pressure came to bear and they never got started. Then in the year 2002, there was called the Second Intifada, another uprising of the Palestinians. In the course of 1 year, 73 bomb attacks and hundreds of Israel citizens were killed. Ariel Sharon said, that's it. We're going to build a security fence. And so the construction then began. The green line, as you see there, is the proposed completed area of the security fence. They're not quite done. As of 2014, they are 440 miles completed, but there's a portion that has not been. And again, international pressure is coming against. UN resolution after UN resolution, and everybody calling the Jews bad people for wanting to put a security fence to stop terrorists from blowing up people waiting for a bus. Here's what that security fence looks like in urban areas. That wall is a little over 30 feet tall. See the humans in the foreground? Go ahead to the next one. Another shot of some of the less than urban areas. And then go ahead one more. in the rural areas, then you see a fence, as you can see there. Ezekiel 38 and 39, one of the characteristics of Israel is that they are unwalled. Is it true today? No, it isn't. Psalm 83, the first player in this Psalm 83 attack, who evidently is the largest and loudest voice of let's cut them off from being a nation that the name of Israel may be remembered no more, are someone called the Tents of Edom. When the Palestinians are dislodged from their home and would not recognize Israel as their nation, then they were forced to live in these refugee camps. Next slide. Back to 1948 and 49. These tents literally are where many of the Palestinians live. Some of the conditions are terrible. Next slide. They are difficult living. Beginning in 1948 and after, intensifying to some degree post-1967, the tents of Edom would be these Palestinians. Literally the tents. As I said, their own Arab neighbors won't take them in as refugees by and large. A few of them do. Go ahead, Todd. Here's where the camps are located. You can see that there are some in Lebanon. You can see that there are some in Syria. You can see there are many in Jordan. It's estimated that there are more Palestinians living in Jordan than there are native Jordanians. Now, why is that different? The Jordanians are Arab, by and large. They are the sons or the descendants of Ishmael. Remember, the Bible says that Ishmael will have 12 sons, 12 princes, and 12 tribes. And God said, I will make you a great nation. And they are. More specifically, the Arab people. Current King Abdullah, he is an Arab. But the Palestinians are a mishmash, and many can trace their lineage that goes back to the kingdoms of Edom, which is Esau. Do you remember Jacob and Esau? God gives the birthright to Jacob, and then Esau was kind of a stinker. He did everything he could to shame his birthright, did everything he could to shame his parents and even the Lord God. Esau, of course, he's the founder of what will be called the Edomites and the Ammonites. So, tribally speaking, they're just a bit different. In the bottom left of the slide, you see Gaza, and there are many, many there. Hamas, the terror organization more or less founded by the PLO, who was founded by Yasser Arafat, they control the Gaza. They're the ones launching the missiles in from the south. Hezbollah to the north, they're not their own sovereign nation, as you might think. Iran is calling the shots by and large. It is Iran who founded Hezbollah. It is Iran who is giving them their missiles and so on. These camps are surrounding Israel. So back to our story. The first and most prominent player in this attack to drive Israel into the sea, the tents of Edom. The Bible speaks about a toppling of Jordan. In Zephaniah 2 and Jeremiah 49, I've got a verse for you. This is out of the book of Obadiah. Obadiah is one chapter all about how God is going to judge the Edomites. We would say Jordan. The house of Jacob, and I wrote in there, the IDF, it is today, shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. But the house of Esau, that would be your Edomites, Ammonites, etc., not Ishmaelites, very different. But the house of Esau shall be stubble. They shall kindle them and devour them, and no survivor shall remain of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. King Abdullah II has signed peace treaties with Israel. He's the current leader there in the constitutional monarchy of Jordan. But he is on very shaky ground. What if the Palestinians rise and there's a coup d'etat of sorts? the entire politics of the region would shift suddenly. Let's keep reading. Who else is in on this coalition? The Ishmaelites, the 12 tribes of Ishmael. If you want to run that down for you Bible students, Genesis 17, verse 20. And if you want to see their names, 12 names, Genesis 25, verses 12 through 16. God promises that he will make a great nation of them, and he has. Primarily, most of the Arabs reside in the Arabian Peninsula of Saudi Arabia, Iraq, and Iran. Who's next? Moab. There you see the pre-1967, that Transjordan area, when the world wants a two-state solution. This is what they want Israel to look like. With that West Bank and the Gaza Strip down there to the bottom left, they want that to be a sovereign Palestinian nation. Please understand that the Palestinians have been at war with the Israelis since 1948. And if Israel ever capitulated to pre-67 borders, at the narrowest section there, Israel is less than 9 miles across. In my opinion, if they ever succumb to that, they have guaranteed nuclear warfare in the region. Only 9 miles across, you have ruled out conventional military defenses. The Hagarites. That's going to be Egypt. Yeah, it was a close call when Hosni Mubarak went down, and then the guy Morsi shows up, and he was a proponent of the Muslim Brotherhood. Well, who are the Muslim Brotherhood? In the First World War, when the Ottoman Turks were defeated by the Allies, where did the leaders go? They ended up in a number of places, the majority of which was Egypt, and became the Muslim Brotherhood. Morsi began to enact Muslim Brotherhood Islamic stuff. The army said, no way, Jose, and they stopped it. And now today, Abdul Hussein el-Sisi is the guy. Now, he likes the West and so far is doing a pretty good job. But he is squarely on the side of the Palestinians, make no mistake. It's el-Sisi who has brokered the last couple peace deals when the Palestinians were uprising against the Jews. So it's mentioned in the Bible. Gebal. Here are these biblical names for this region. Now we'll go quickly. Gebal is the Golan Heights. We would say Syria. And we looked at that last week. The destruction of Damascus is prophesied in the Bible. Remember, the IDF is going to strike from the sea and seems to be retaliatory there in Isaiah chapter 17. Entire city of Damascus is going to be leveled in one night, and Syria's military will be destroyed. It's all prophesied. Hasn't happened yet, but it will. Ammon. What is the capital of Jordan today, you guys? Amman. This would be the Palestinians, perhaps, northern Jordan. Amalek is next. We know who that is, right in your margin. Judges 12, verse 15. Calls it the hill country of Ephraim. The tribe of Ephraim was given what we know today, the West Bank. It's the capital of the Palestinian Authority. There is Ramallah right there. And Philistia, you can see down to the left. I've got another verse for you. Because the Philistines dealt vengefully and took vengeance with a spiteful heart to destroy because of old hatred. Therefore, it says the Lord God, I will stretch out my hand against the Philistines. I will cut off from the Cherethites and destroy the remnant of the sea coast. Where was the Philistine major capital city? Gaza. And if you look in your Bible, the word Gaza is there. I will execute great vengeance on them with furious rebukes. And they shall know that I am the Lord. This is going to happen sometime before Ezekiel 38 and 39. Now, this coalition of countries and leaders, has that ever come against Israel before? Kind of. More on that in a moment. Let's finish our thought. And the end of verse 7, and the inhabitants of Tyre. That's easy. That's Lebanon. There's Tyre and Sidon up there. And hit the go button again. Here are their modern day designations. The Bible is saying Israel is going to become a nation in one day. Did it happen? May 14th, 1948. The Bible also says this, that there's going to come a great battle between Russia, who's trying to sweep into Israel, an unwalled city, safe and very prosperous. But that can happen because that's not what Israel is today. They're not unwalled. They're not exactly safe. And though they have a bustling economy, it's not envious. What happens to Israel that suddenly they expand their borders? Every time the Arabs come after Israel post-1948, what happens? They win and they expand their borders. Is Psalm 83 by the prophet Asaph, is it prophesying the final Arab-Israeli war? Everybody's been trying to bring peace to the region. One of the reasons I think they won't succeed is because it wasn't time for Psalm 83. And now I'm going to really go out on a limb. Everybody say speculation. It's speculation. What would happen if all of the Palestinians, backed by their huge Arab petrodollars, with the threat of nuclear military action, what do you suppose Israel might do? And if she did, would that then describe what happens in Elam, Iran, the terror in Jordan and the destruction of Damascus? And don't forget, we got the Hagarites, the Egyptians. Don't forget that the Bible prophesies at some point there's going to be five cities in Egypt speaking Hebrew. What if something went off in the Middle East? And what if nuclear weapons were discharged? Would that panic the planet? Did you know that World War III almost started in 1973 over a skirmish in this area? The 1973 Yom Kippur War. The superpowers had to get on the hotline and cool tensions in the region. It almost happened once. What if it happened again? And what if at any time during this process, the rapture of the church happens and the Christians are gone and the U.S. military is greatly diminished because there's lots of fine men and women who serve in our military who love Jesus, including in the Pentagon. I know this for a fact. And what if the world is in chaos? What are we going to do? And then somebody stands up and says, I can stop the whole thing. Brokers a peace treaty with Israel that potentially they've run all the way into Syria. They've run all the way up into Lebanon. Damascus is gone. Amman is gone. Five cities in Egypt are speaking Hebrew. And if this man of great political power shows up and says stop, and brokers and enforces a peace treaty with Israel and all of her erstwhile enemies. And so confident is Israel in this stellar politician, they have a hunch that he is not only just a real great guy, I think he might be our Messiah. Get on the rabbinical websites. What are you looking for in your Messiah? Not Isaiah 53, I can assure you. Whoever is going to give us peace and who will build our temple. Psalm 83 is future and is potentially close at hand. And what if then is when this man shows up? And what if the rapture of the church happens somewhere around here and the whole world is reeling? What's going on? and somebody steps up to the fore, I'll bring peace to the Middle East. And so completely trusting are the Jews that he is their Messiah that they dismantle all of their walls. They build their temple and begin their temple rites and rituals. And for the first 3.5 years, they think that he is their Messiah. Has anyone heard of a scenario somewhat similar to that? Daniel chapter 9. Let's hurry to the end. End of verse 7. With the inhabitants of Tyre, Assyria has also joined with them. That's Syria. Or in these days, that could be Iran as well. They have helped the children of Lot, Selah. Deal with them as with Midian, as with Sisera and Jabin at the brook Kishon, says Asaph, who perished at Endor, who became as refuse on the earth. If you know that story, that's Judges 4. That's the 900 iron chariots that Deborah dispatches with a supernatural move of the Lord. Point being is, the Canaanites never bothered Israel again. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb, yes, all of their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take for ourselves the pastures of God for possession. Yeah, that's continuing Judges 6 and 7. When 105,000 Midianites were killed by Gideon's supernatural move of the Lord. And Midian never bothers Israel again. Verse 13, oh my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind, this coalition. As fire burns the woods and as the flame sets the mountains on fire, so pursue them, your tempest, and frighten them with your storm. We looked at that last week, what happens to all of these areas. Assyria, Iran, Egypt, and Jordan prophesied a complete destruction and defeat. Verse 18, that they may know that you whose name alone is the Lord, write in your margin there, Ezekiel 38:27, and Ezekiel 39:7, when the whole world knows who's the real God. The battle of Psalm 83 has not been fought before, or has it? Our final stop, if you don't mind. Are you all right learning something in church? Yes. About 150 years after Psalm 83, look what happens to a fellow by the name of Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon. And then hold your finger there with your eyes. Look over quickly to verse number 23. There's another player, Mount Seir. Mount Seir, right? Edom. So there's three pronounced players, Moab, Ammon, and Edom. And others with them, besides the Ammonites. So there's more than just these three mentioned.